Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside Grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Forgive us our trespasses. The story of Elizabeth St. John.
I was introduced into the Mother Superior's room in the evening. She now informed me that, having taken the veil, it only remained that I should swear the oaths customary on becoming a nun, and that some explanations would be necessary from her. I must be informed that one of my great duties was to obey the priests in all things. And this I soon learnt, to my utter astonishment and horror, was to live in immorality with them. I expressed some of the feelings which this announcement had excited in me, but the only effect was to set the Mother Superior arguing with me in favor of this immorality, representing it as a virtue acceptable to God and honorable to me.
During the first half of the 19th century, the act granting religious freedom to the French Catholics in Canada struck terror in the citizens of the United States. The native stock of America rose up in alarm at the idea of the country being dominated by a foreign patriarch and a pagan order. At the peak of their hysteria, a young girl named Maria Monk appeared to fan the flames of intolerance. Half-starved and pregnant, she shocked a nation with tales of horror concerning her adventures as a nun in the Montreal convent of Hotel Dieu.
She gave me another piece of information which excited other feelings in me scarcely less dreadful. Infants were sometimes born in the convent due to the immoral union of priests and nuns, but they were always baptized and immediately strangled. This secured their everlasting happiness, for the baptism purified them of all sinfulness, and being sent out of the world, they were at once admitted to heaven.
For 4 years, her book, Awful Disclosures, was used by anti-Catholic groups as absolute proof as to the degradation of the hated religion. Then, due to the investigations of responsible Protestants, it was finally established beyond any doubt that Maria Monk had never seen the inside of the Hotel Dieu convent. Exposed as a mentally ill prostitute, the story of her supposed ordeals crumbled, and she was soon abandoned by her supporters to die a lonely death. By the 1860s, her influence was all but forgotten, except by a few.
André, I don't think we should go off from the party. His Excellency will wonder what's happened to us.
Oh, I doubt that, Elizabeth.
The entire court of France suspects there is more between us than casual friendship.
I never worry about suspicions. They're only dangerous when they're confirmed as reality.
But you don't consider our relationship dangerous?
André, nothing could be dangerous to you. Not to the Vicomte de La Ferrière. You have the security of a title and an indisputable place in court society. You'll have to admit my position is not so secure.
Nonsense. You are greatly admired there.
I am looked upon as what I am, an American widow in a foreign country. Other than that, I have no other place but what I can bargain for myself.
Oh, now, Elizabeth.
Bargain is the right word, André. We're not so afraid of it in America. When I was in Washington, it was used freely. Do you want your appointment to go through, sir? Then talk to Mrs. Eccle. She can use her influence to get the best bargain. She has very influential connections, you know.
But why do you always see such hate around you? You seem to delight in believing that people look upon you as a...
As a woman. And I learned long ago that a woman has a certain power over men which she must use. If she's unfortunate in her choice of husbands, as I have been, she always has that power to fall back on.
Ah, but she need not always be unfortunate.
No, that's true. I've thought of that myself in the past few weeks.
Believe me, Elizabeth, if it were in my power...
I wish I could see that it is not.
Elizabeth, you know about my daughter. The doctors say she will be an invalid as long as she lives. Now, how can I think of myself now? All my hours must be devoted to helping her find some reason for having been born.
It is very cruel of you, André, making me wait on the death of a child. I have a daughter of my own.
But she is not an invalid.
If she were, do you think I'd make you pay for that? Make you hope for the hour when I'd be free of her? Pray God for it?
Elizabeth, you haven't prayed for that.
I've wanted to. Oh, isn't that bad
no.
enough? At one point of my life, I thought seriously of entering a convent as a repayment for... Never mind that. Now I can hardly bear to approach an altar for fear of the prayer I might make. André, I swear to you, if you do
please,
not marry me now,
please,
now I will become a nun. I'll give up everything and beg forgiveness from God.
Don't talk foolishly. Now, neither of us is without sin, but God won't punish us for what life has driven us to.
My sin was created before I was born, and for that there is no forgiveness.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Nothing. Something you must never know. André, next week I'm returning to America to visit my sister in Amenia, New York. Please, promise you'll marry me when I return. Promise me.
Elizabeth, I don't know what to say that I have not already said.
Then don't say anything. I don't want to hear your refusal. As long as you say nothing, I can hope. All my life has been built on that. Let me hope, André.
Come now. Come. Let's rejoin the party.
In a moment. Leave me for a moment, André. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a soul tarnished by a crime I did not commit, but is nonetheless beyond ordinary redemption. Forgive me that I continue to pray for your mercy. Grant that I be allowed this one happiness, and I will do all in my power to atone for the sin that has brought me shame all my life. Please let me have the pleasures you grant to others. A home with the man I love, and the joys of the earthly world. Let me know happiness, O Lord. And I will go on reviling the past which has moved your wrath so righteously. Grant me happiness, O Lord, with André.
How long will you be staying this time, sister dear?
Well, I don't know. Until I'm sent for. That's my reason for being here. To make someone long for my return.
You didn't bring your daughter with you?
No, I left her in the convent outside Paris. I thought it best if there's going to be any trouble.
No, you don't have to worry about that. No one around here knows who we are.
Are you sure?
Don't you remember? While she was raising us, Aunt Hulda went to such great pain to make certain no one would find out. She was as ashamed of Mother as you are.
Perhaps we're the only ones in the family who have enough decency to be ashamed.
You talk of decency? I said they don't suspect what our mother was, but that doesn't mean they haven't heard of your amorous activities. Sometimes I wonder if you really hated her as much as you claim to.
Oh, yes, I did. And she hated me. You were the only one she ever loved. She made that clear to me when we were growing up.
Well, then she'd be very disappointed to see that it's you and not me who has followed in her footsteps.
What do you mean?
She wasn't one to hide from men's company. And my beautiful sister is living up to her tradition.
No, that's not true. You don't understand. I'm not like her at all. I'm not.
Oh, yes, Lizzie, dear, more than any of the family. Anyone with eyes in their head can see it. You. You're Maria Monk's daughter.
She hated me, I tell you. She hated me.
Mother? Mother, can you hear me? We've got to go home. Father sent me to bring you home.
Hmm? Home? He calls it home, does he? Go back and tell him this is my home. These are my friends. Bartender, another whiskey here. Gentlemen.
I'm frightened.
Come on, go away. Go away. Who's stopping you, hmm? Oh, she's come. I don't even want to see you anymore.
Oh, don't say that, please. Father is so angry. Georgina is fighting with him again. He says he'll leave us and never come back.
Good. Good. He always hated Georgina anyway. All of you hated Georgina. She's a good girl. I said she was the child of one of the priests. One of the priests that used me as a convent. And they believed me. And they stopped believing me. They all knew I lied. They called me names.
Why did you have to have me too? Why did I have to be born?
Because God wanted to punish me. Don't you see that? Now, leave me alone. I'm happy here. This is the only place I've ever been happy, and I'm gonna die here.
Then do it. Die then. I hope it's soon. I want you to die now. I hate you. I hope God kills you and lets me forget that you ever lived.
You'll never forget that, Lizzie. Never. Never. God's punishing you too.
Oh, don't stand there out in the rain. Come in, ma'am. Come in.
Oh, thank you.
Here. Let me take your wet coat.
Oh, it's very kind of you, Father. I'm sorry to disturb you. I was riding by your parish house when the storm came up and frightened my horse. I just managed to get out of the carriage when he broke and ran off.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll arrange to have some men from the village go after him as soon as the rain stops. In the meantime, I was just about to have breakfast. Won't you join me?
Oh, thank you. I don't want to impose.
Not at all. Here, sit down. Sure you're not injured by the accident?
Oh, no. No, it just frightened me.
I thought I knew most everyone around here. But, well, are you visiting someone in Armenia,
Mrs. Eccle. Yes, I'm staying with my sister a few days, Miss St. John. She and I were raised here by our aunt, but I've been abroad for the last few years.
Oh, I see. Well, it's a relief to know it's not my memory. I hate to think I haven't met all my parishioners yet.
Oh, Father, I'm sure you could memorize all the faces around this area within a few hours.
Oh, I have to admit it's not as populated as New York City, or Paris, for that matter. Now, tell me, what were you doing riding on a day like this?
Well, I had no idea it would rain. And for some reason, I had this urge to see the countryside. Father, there's a piece of land about 20 miles up the road with a little hill set in some elm trees. It's quite lovely. Can you guess where I mean?
I think so, yes. Oh, just past the state line.
Yes.
If it's the same area I'm thinking of, you're right. It is quite lovely.
Do you know who owns it?
No. Why?
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to build a church there.
I don't understand.
I decided the moment I saw it. It was as if God himself had directed me to that spot. And as I stood looking at it, the wind seemed to be saying, here, here. For the first time in my life, I felt sure of something.
Mrs. Eccle, can you be serious?
I'm going to build a church there, Father. I've never been more serious in my life.
But you just don't decide to build a church.
Why not?
Well, first of all, there's got to be some reason. The diocese decides when and where to erect a church.
I plan to give the deed to the diocese once it's finished. I don't see why they should refuse a house of God.
Mrs. Eccle, a church isn't something you just put up and give away. And then, of course, there's the expense.
I'm sure I have enough to buy the land. In fact, it would be the perfect way to use the money I've earned. As for the rest, God will show me the way as he showed me the way here.
Here?
Yes. It's obvious that I was guided here to meet you, so that you could agree to become the priest of my church.
Mrs. Eccle, forgive me, but your accident just now, are you certain that you didn't suffer some injury
I'm aware of how I sound, but I will build that church, Father, and you shall celebrate the first Mass within its walls. And I shall consecrate the entire project to my mother.
Your mother?
Yes. The Catholic religion. The only real mother I have ever known. There. There it is. Stop the carriage, please, Father.
Oh, whoa.
Isn't it lovely? Isn't it as beautiful as I told you it was?
Yes. I've always admired this part of the country, Mrs. Eccle.
Father, you aren't going to try to keep persuading me not to buy this land, are you? I've already bought it.
Mrs. Eccle, can't you understand? I think your gesture is quite laudable, but you fail to see the impracticality of the whole idea. It's as if you resent anyone reminding you of the realities of life.
No, I don't resent advice from everyone. However, most people have always hated me for what I've done with my life, and my successes such as they are.
Oh, no. You must stop feeling this about people.
I don't include you, Father. After all, you're going to be the priest of my church.
Madam, there will be no church. To begin with, it will never be approved by the hierarchy.
Oh, yes. I've already received approval from the Archbishop of New York.
This isn't even in his diocese.
Oh, yes, he did mention that problem. But I managed to solve it. You see, I said all we had to do was change the boundaries of the diocese.
That's all? Change the boundaries of the diocese?
Exactly. Now, it seemed to me that the New York diocese was too small, and the Connecticut diocese was too large. So I drew up a paper for him and the Bishop of Connecticut to sign, petitioning the Holy Father in Rome to rearrange the lines.
And they agreed?
But of course. Why shouldn't they?
And the Holy Father, too? He went along with it?
Father, as of now, this land is within the New York diocese, and I also have permission to beg for funds here in order to pay for the construction.
I see. You did all this in a month?
I've based my life on knowing how to get things done. Now, the real problem will be getting the building funds. I've exhausted all my money on the land purchase. Tell me, how long do you think it will take?
I really couldn't say, Mrs. Eckler. For the first time, I'm beginning to feel that, where you was concerned, it's I who have been refusing to accept reality.
My dearest Andre, this morning I am writing you while I sit by the window of my new house, the one that I hope someday will be our home. It affords an excellent view of the hill where the church is nearing completion. I look out at its growing walls and foundation and dream longingly of the day you will join me here in America and we can live together in its shade as man and wife. It will be a wonderful life for both of us, darling. One in which we will at last know that our future will no longer be a payment for the past. Andre, my love for you is as everlasting as my devotion to the church. Come to me
soon,
that all my dreams can be completed.
The doctors tell me that God has granted my daughter a few more years of agonized life. And I must believe that he has destined me to devote my own life to her happiness. By the time you receive this, I will have retreated to some remote spot where the two of us can ignore all other considerations, but the comfort of each other. I have always loved you, Elizabeth, but we must realize now that our union was never meant to be. Find your solace in what we have already been allowed together, and try to build your future without that hope which I have regretfully abandoned.
Mrs. Eckel, I came to see if you're ready.
Ready?
Yes, for the dedication. Everyone has arrived. We're going to begin the first mass. We're all waiting for you.
All? How many is all, Father? As you've said, this is not the most populated part of the country. This morning I went out and looked for the first time. There aren't 20 houses within riding distance to this church.
Nonetheless, they're all here today. Won't you come in and join us?
Father, shall I make a prediction? In a year, if even that, this building will be deserted, starting to deteriorate. But enough will remain to stand as a mockery to my foolishness. You were right, weren't you? You tried to tell me, but I wouldn't listen.
Mrs. Eckel, at least you managed to get it built. It's true I never saw the practicality of your idea, but I've learned to admire your determination. No matter what happens, you have nothing to be ashamed of.
It's my shame that inspires my determination. I can't expect you to understand, but I have nothing to be proud of. Certainly not the church. God never wanted it. He's made that plain to me now. He's never wanted anything I've tried to do. But I must keep trying. I must.
Because of your mother?
You know about Maria, Monk?
Yes. Forgive me. I didn't deliberately pry into your life. You've attracted some attention here, and one of the parishioners found out and told me. It's answered a great many of the questions I had about you.
I see. Then you hate me now, too, just like the others.
No.
Yes. Yes, you do, because God wants you to. But it will be different. You'll see. I'm writing a book. A book about my life. I'm going to tell the world everything about myself and her. The world will see what a vile creature she was and learn to hate her as I do. Then God will forgive me. The church will forgive me.
Mrs. Eckel, please.
You don't believe me. I can see that. But it's true. I'll do it, and then I'll enter a convent. I will this time. I'll devote myself to God forever until he forgives me.
Then you'll be wasting your time, because he'll never forgive you for this.
What?
He's not a God of hate. And the deepest sin a person can commit is using him as such. You've been doing that all your life. None of us can decide what God does. But you've been trying to make him as full of hate as you are.
My mother tried to destroy his church. For that he has condemned her forever. There can be no forgiveness.
No one is beyond his forgiveness. But the furthest from it are those who will not show that same love that is God. When your mother was exposed, she was deserted by her followers. But she was never deserted by God, even when she was trying to destroy him.
No, he hates her, and me too.
Mrs. Eckel, sin is not meant as an excuse for us to persecute the sinner. We must not glory in someone's error and use it to prove our own superiority. And don't you see, that's what you're doing. The church has forgiven Maria Monk long ago because it knows it cannot and will not dictate condemnation. For your own sake, like the church, you must let her memory lie in peace.
I can't. I can never forgive her, never.
And you will never know peace. I'm sorry. All I can do now is ask you not to use the name of the church to justify your hate. I once said you refused to face reality. Love is the greatest reality, and it is the hardest for all of us.
Father, help me. Tell me what I'm to do now. Help me.
You have a daughter yourself, I believe.
Yes, I haven't seen her for months. I left her in France.
Can you be certain you haven't left her to grow up unbelieving the same things about you that you believe about your own mother?
No, she would never.
You ask my advice. Then I tell you to live for the future, not the past. Stop hating the dead and devote yourself to loving those who are living and need you. My child, if we wish God to forgive us our trespasses, then we must forgive others who inflict hurts on us, whether they are real or imaginary.
Mother, please. Forgive me. Mother, please forgive me.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymore for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymore, attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need, please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymore, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, In closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.